This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Thank you for tuning in and listening to tonight's program. If you've never heard of Free Talk Live before, you're new to this program, visit freetalklive.com to find out all about us and what we do. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Captain,
Bigless Mountaineer,
and Richie Rich.
Before we go on, this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have or become a decentralized autonomous organization. And to this day, it continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury, and anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash Master Nodes. The masternodes then vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by the Treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and easy to use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. That's Dash.org. All right. Let's just go right away to some of your calls and thoughts. We have, I believe this is Ricky from the Commonwealth calling. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
No doubt there, Brother Captain. Brother Richie. Peakless Mountaineer, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yep.
Well, before I go into my topic, I just wanted to say if you ever get a chance to talk to Brother Ian there, Brother Captain. Just let him know that Ricky from the Commonwealth loves him and he misses him. And he looks forward to him coming back to where he belongs real soon.
Roger that. Consider the message relayed the next time I talk to him.
You got it, brother. Thank you. Anyways, now on to the important phone call. Brother Richie.
Yo.
Hey. You know, I couldn't think of anything more on topic. You know, a couple of weeks back, we were talking about certain predictions. Now, here's the thing. Here's what I'd like to do. I haven't forgotten. You know, in Peakless, you had a great idea, and I just didn't have a chance. But here, I want to reiterate my predictions, and then we speak about terms. All right?
Let's hear it.
So here were the predictions. I'll run them past real quick, Richie, and then we'll talk terms. My predictions are that on around July 2025, gas price is going to go beyond biblical epic proportions in price. Okay, second, by the end of 2025, the dollar will fall. And then third, by the end of the first quarter of 2026, we're going to have a new experiment. And that means that this country is going to become a third world country. Now, I did say as a caveat, I wasn't going to say it because I thought irresponsible. I thought maybe it's a good thing, though, that the only thing that can stop this is World War III. Now, that being said, my predictions will come true notwithstanding. Now, I thought Equus is right, and I think we should make the bet in Dash. Sounds appropriate, you know, Captain?
Well, first of all, your predictions are vague. Right?
No, they're not vague. They're accurate, brother. What, vague? Oh, Louis.
Well, no. Hold on. As much as I hate to agree with Richie Rich, and you know I do, he has a point here that we need to know what you mean, astronomical prices.
It means they're going to be so sky high.
No, we need a number. We need a number.
Oh, come on.
No. That's how you settle the bets.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to get to 2026, and you're going to be like, they were astronomical. And he'll be like, they were not astronomical. They were just absurd.
No. All I'm saying, okay, here. Put it this way. The economic oblivion one will be enough for this bet to be satisfied. That will happen, and so will the others.
Okay, what do you mean economic oblivion? How do you measure that? We need objective measurements, or we can't make a bet.
Well, you don't listen to the show enough. That's the problem, Rich. The sequence knows very well what I'm talking about.
You still got to put a number on it.
30 million people become a third world country. That's an economic oblivion as a result of the dollar falling at the end of 2025.
So what does the dollar fall to by the end of 2025?
El Zippo. And so, it's due to the gold because
it's going to fall like another penny.
You didn't listen to my predictions back tonight.
Well, this sounds great. Like whatever the bet amount is, you just owe that to Richie in dollars, and then he owes you something in Dash.
No. We'll use Dash.
It's the other way.
The dollar's going to be worthless. We'll use Dash.
So what's the bet? How many Dash?
Well, if it's worthless, then you can get as much of it as you want.
No, here's the thing. We're going to make it appropriate because, you know, things do fluctuate in the amount of Dash. So I'm saying we're going
to fluctuate in the amount of Dash as it relates to the dollar. If you're going to settle this in Dash, it has to be like a fixed amount of Dash.
Don't worry. The dollar's not going to fall until the end of 2025, Richie. At the beginning of 2025, that's where we're going to make the monetary bet. Wouldn't make sense to do it now because it may be more or less the amount in crypto.
No, that's why you just make it in a fixed amount of crypto. If you want to bet like 5 Dash, I don't know what Dash is worth.
All right. Okay. We could do it now.
How much is 5 Dash worth? Current market value.
It's like 30-ish.
30-ish? Okay.
Per dash?
$30? Per dash.
Yeah, so 150-ish.
So five dash then.
Okay.
We can do that.
That's worth about $166.25. That's
per dash?
Five dash.
Five dash. Okay, yeah. So
all right,
five dash.
Ricky from the Commonwealth. And we'll make the bet, and I will make sure you'll have yours on your end. I'll have mine on my end.
Sure.
At the beginning, say, I don't know, about February, say, 2025.
Whatever. I probably have more than that right now just because of my Free Talk Live stipend.
There you go.
But
does that sound fair around February 2025? We'll put the money on the line?
No, let's put it on the line right now. If you bet I will bet you five dash.
You might not have five dash right now.
Well, you better get it now before the dollar goes to Bolivian.
Right.
Dude, that's not going to happen until the end of 2025, Richie.
Well, then you have plenty of time to acquire 5 Dash.
Right, but at the end of 2025, Dash might be worth $1,000 each.
No, I like where Ricky's going with this. In February, we need to have this put in escrow.
I'll put it in escrow. If I got it, I'll put it in escrow right now.
I like it. That's exactly what I'm saying.
There we go. Okay, so Richie's already got his 5 Dash. Ricky from the Commonwealth is acquiring his 5 Dash by February, and then we will put both of them in escrow.
Okay, and by the end of 2025, the dollar has to be valued at zero.
Right? No, what will happen is it will be dollared by zero, but see, the third prediction is what's important. By the end of the first quarter of 2026, we're going to be in economic oblivion.
What does that mean?
The third one got to go.
Well, what does that mean?
Yeah, we need objective measures, or we can't make a bet there.
Well, we're only betting on the value of the dollar because you didn't give me a number for gas prices.
Richie,
you define economic oblivion.
First of all, that means that we will be a third world country. Pequus knows very well because we actually discussed this because of the gold with BRICS and the fat currency.
So can we define third world country?
Oh, by the way, just for the record, that night when Saudi Arabia and Egypt joined
first
BRICS,
quarter 2026 GDP drops below.
Okay, hold on. I got it.
When I went on that night.
Let me ask you. Okay, yeah. How about this? Okay, so right now, America is the economic powerhouse of the world. It is number one.
Mm-hmm.
If it is not number one by the end of 2025, then you owe Ricky from the Commonwealth your 5 dash. But if it is still number one in the world, as measured by GDP and all of that, then Ricky owes you 5 dash.
Wait a minute, hold on. I said a third prediction. That's that we will be in economic oblivion. I'm talking
so five
we
dash
worse
per prediction.
Than Venezuela.
Okay, well, but do you have a better specific thing that you can point to and say yes or no?
What if Venezuela rebounds?
Because, I mean, look, if any of this doesn't happen, in theory, you owe Richie Rich. But if any of them occur, then Richie Rich owes you.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Economic oblivion, that will happen, Beakless. Now, you know you were on that night.
But he won't
you
be fine.
You know that Brother Ian said my analysis of the BRICS alliance was correct and what happened. So Richie's going to have his share of problems because I already went through
I do think that you are you assume that the BRICS alliance will be way more trusting of each other and efficient because it requires both those things in order to get an actual BRICS currency rolling. They have to actually be effective, and there has to be a level of trust between those countries that basically do not have all their poop in a group as it is.
So this is so bad for me.
So I think that the BRICS currency will happen. It's just going to take some time.
So this is a good bet for me.
You know what?
Yeah, I think this is a good bet for you.
5- per prediction.
10-.
5- per prediction.
Repeat that.
Well, 5- per prediction would be 15-.
Well, but it can be either or. It doesn't have to be all of them right or all of them wrong.
Okay, no, that's great. Okay, 5- per prediction. And let's get specific metrics for what does and does not count as America being a third world country, economic oblivion, and what was the third one?
The price of gas.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, and we can get a numerical.
I don't care what price order it is. You're making three predictions.
So let's make it simple. The gas price is going to go so high. And by the way, the 8%
put a number on it.
Right? Second prediction is the dollar will fall down.
No. Wait, stop right there, Ricky. Go back to the gas prices.
Yeah.
The gas price will be above how much in U.S. dollars?
By what
date? I don't know.
Are we talking at least $100?
Well, I'm talking oil prices in general, so the whole thing will be so sky-high you can't handle it.
Okay, if oil prices skyrocket, then gas prices will also skyrocket.
But
we can see at the pump with our own two eyes what that number says, and do you think that that's going to be three digits or more in U.S. dollars?
LRN.FM.
Oh, don't drop me.
Oh, anyway. Man. I kind of have to, Ricky.
Talk to you next week.
No, talk to you next week, man.
See what happens. You get a bunch of guys together, and they start locker room talking. Making bets.
Grab them by the stars and bars.
I'm having a bit of a technicality with my headphones here. I'm going to try and
all he's got to do is put, like, a number on it. Right? Like, I'm not generally a betting man. But this seems like a sure thing based on his absence of fundamental definitions.
Ordinarily, I'd agree with you, but I honestly cannot see any of what's going to happen after March.
Okay.
Yeah, but there are so many things that are all clustered together that are working together this March that I cannot see the economic future past that.
Got it.
It could be business as usual.
Or it
could be oblivion.
And I think the time frame for, like, Bolivian, I'm just going to do the Mike Tyson thing because you're laughing at it, is too short for these things. Right?
Economic boulevard will rise.
The Bolivian?
Right.
Not Oblivion.
Bolivian. I'm going to eat his children, turn him into Bolivian, whatever he said. Either way, right? So the dollar goes to zero.
You start talking like this?
Okay. That's likely not going to happen. Right, we went through the Amero stage several years ago, early conspiracy theorists.
Yeah.
Hey, do you remember the Amero?
Yeah.
Right? The dollar's not going to go to zero. It's going, not in the next year and a half. It's 1% based on what it was in 1913. Fine, right? But it's still going to have value somewhere down the line.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, I think this idea of going to zero is mostly not a thing. Like, it does occasionally happen. Zimbabwe, that went to zero.
Well, one trillionth of it, whatever, but you could still.
And you guys are, like, if we talk about.
Going to a trillionth of it, that is not going to zero.
I get it, so safe bet there.
Safe bet.
If we talk about, like, something tangible and real that common folk can, sort of wrap their brains around, when I was 16, 1988, 89, whenever that was, cigarettes were $1.25 for a pack.
Okay.
Right, now they're $10.
Sure.
So I don't know what the math is there, but to me that's an astronomical, increase in price.
Agree.
Right.
So a tenfold increase in gas would be astronomical for that one.
That was my backup question. Is like, okay, are we talking three digits? If he'd have said no, all right. Are we talking two digits? Are we talking $30 for gas?
Right. So if gas is,
and
I don't
would
know,
you still
$4
make
a gallon? Tenfold would be what? $40 a gallon?
$40 a gallon.
I mean, there's a serious question.
There's like, a number, and that's what we're looking for.
I would still make that bet because there's too much political pressure to keep that number down.
Right? I think that depends. No, I think that wildly depends. So, like, right now, there is a tremendous clash between the sort of World Economic Forum communist faction of America and sort of not that, the more, like, fascist elements of America.
Sure.
Like, there's an actual fight going on. Now, if the communist elements get their way, they will absolutely make $30 a gallon gasoline at some point pretty soon.
And
they'll be happy to make sure that you have to ride your bike to work or get a new job.
And Biden is already releasing some of the American Strategic Reserve to kind of mitigate prices as it is. So if there's enough political pushback on, like, we can't do this, we're not going to go to work, right? We're not going to ride our bikes. It's New Hampshire. It snows. No one's going to be commuting by bike to work, right? There will be political pushback. They'll open up fracking or any of the other reserves. Right, they'll buy it from other nations that aren't part of OPEC. They'll artificially bring that price down.
Yeah,
right,
I mean, it is really important for people to know that the same mechanism that keeps diamonds expensive keeps gas expensive.
It's artificially set.
Yes, it's artificially set. It's artificially capped in both this country and other countries.
Right.
The means by which you can get it, and whether or not you can get a permit for drilling, and all of these things.
So at $15 a gallon, no one goes to work because it costs more to drive to work than what you're getting paid, right?
Right.
Or close to that. And so that shuts down the economy. They'll fix the gas thing.
And then in comes the captain who invents snow tires for bicycles.
Again, we're talking about the next year and a half.
Well, okay, great. Let's look at a year and a half. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what if at the same time that they're upping this over $15 a gallon, so it is prohibitively expensive to get to work, they are also subsidizing buses and subways and all of that stuff? Because you have to remember how much of the voter base is in cities, and buses work fine there, and it's good for the planet.
So,
you've got to appease the sky gods, or they will increase the temperature by 1 degree centigrade.
So where are the gas prices we're talking about? Is it national average? Is it local average? Is it Pennsylvania? Is it New Hampshire? Right, we don't have the infrastructure to run a train. They're going to have to build that. No, from what I've seen in Hawaii and their rail system, that's a 30-year project.
Yeah.
They're not going to do anything anytime soon.
Well, tends to be the way that this runs, is that they make the gas prices extremely high, and then they subsidize it where they want your economic activity. If you're a, let's call it, essential worker, like, for example, growing food, then they'll give you a government subsidy for your gas to bring the prices back to something reasonable.
Okay.
But if you're not an essential worker, then they're not going to help you.
Then you're on welfare because you're not going
to
go to work.
Well, you should have lived in a 15-minute city to begin with.
Are either of you familiar with the carnival ride, the bumper cars?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And have you looked at, like, how they actually function?
They're electric. Well, in the roof.
Right. So they have a pole sticking out of the back with a little metal curved bar that touches the roof. And when it does, it conducts electricity that makes the car go.
Yep.
I don't know if you know this. And I don't know however many other big cities this is the case in, but when I was in Seattle, all of their city buses are what they call dual fuel. They're either diesel or electric.
Mm.
When a bus travels outside of the downtown, quote-unquote, Seattle area, I don't know who defines these things, it only works on, you know, we'll call it fossil fuel, right? Diesel or gas or whatever, right?
Mm.
But once it enters the downtown area, it has two bars that raise up from the roof of the bus and touch upon these cables that are suspended from the air all over downtown and are now powered by electric so as to eliminate emissions.
How long did it take to get that started?
What they called a light rail in Denver.
Yeah.
That's basically the same idea. You have
Seattle
a train.
Light rail as
but,
well.
it runs basically like bumper cars.
The Seattle light rail up until...
How long did it take to get those projects from start to finish?
I don't know. It was there when I got there in 96.
Was it more than 18 months?
Probably.
Probably.
Yeah, probably.
So on Ricky's time scale, you're not going to do this everywhere in America in the next 18 months.
Well, and it's irrelevant anyway, because we're talking about, like, most of the...
I knew it was irrelevant when I brought it up.
Yeah, most...
That's why I brought it up.
Well, if we're going to talk about irrelevancies, then what we should have is a system of bumper cars, except the antennas should go all the way to space.
I was sitting,
and if they go all the way to space, then we can harvest the space radiation.
Look, brother, I was sitting here listening quite peacefully to the Richie Rich and Peakless Mountaineer show. And you guys said something, and I was like, oh, hey, I got bumper cars and, like, you know, electric buses or whatever. And so in order to get a word in edgewise, I had to sort of interrupt y'all.
No, it's a fine idea if you think that that's what's going to happen. The question is it going to happen within Ricky's time frame?
No, it's not.
And it's not. No. So, again, that's another safe bet.
Well, not necessarily.
Okay.
So, seriously, you can have a system where gas, as far as you and I go, is $30 a barrel. Completely unusable. But they do subsidies for all of the things that they've decided are essential.
Understood. But there are more non-essential workers that will throw a fit, vote otherwise, protest, storm the Capitol, whatever.
Well, they're not like they count the votes.
I got it. But they'll be counting the bullet chills. Right? At some point,
I think we proved in 2020 that there is pretty much no amount of stomping on people's rights that will get them to do anything.
Okay. So they're going to have to subsidize people then. Whoever's working.
Oh, it's almost like people will call for a universal basic income with a central bank digital currency. I'm sure they won't do that.
Even if they do that, fine. Right? Because no one's working. Gas prices is irrelevant. The only people who are pumping it are essential workers. The price goes down for them anyway. All right.
There won't be people pumping gas because the cars will just drive themselves to the gas station and automatically get filled up through some new automated process that doesn't yet exist.
Probably in like 5 to 10 years, not in 18 months.
Or some like, I'm sorry, I just had a whole other thought surrounding this. I was watching sports ball. Right? This past
Eagles
weekend.
And the Panthers.
No, I don't remember what it was, but maybe it was the Thursday night game. And do you guys remember the whole Domino's story about them filling potholes?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Domino's Pizza ran a commercial during, I believe it was Thursday night football.
On Amazon Prime.
Yes. Where they are now going to be plowing otherwise unplowed streets during the winter for people who are snowed in. You want to talk about the roads? Give us a call. 603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live is on the way.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
U.S. USA News Update. Tesla is recalling more than 120,000 vehicles in the United States. A letter posted to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration's website on Thursday notes that the doors on affected models can become unlocked and potentially open during a crash. Those affected vehicles include Tesla models S and X, manufactured for model years 2021 through 2023. The U.S. population is climbing.
The United States experienced its largest population growth this year since the onset of the pandemic. The U.S. Census Bureau attributed the increase to a reduction in deaths and a return of immigration to pre-pandemic levels. Nearly 90% of the nation's growth occurred in the southern region. Despite this growth, the overall increase remains relatively low in historical terms. I'm John Schaefer.
Skip Kelly, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Yes, it is Free Talk Live, the Saturday night edition. The telephone number in the studio is 603-283-6160. 603-283-6160. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Big Liz Mountaineer.
And Richie Rich.
We've been talking about, well, a crappy birthday to the Federal Reserve, which is neither federal and doesn't really have any reserves. 110 years ago, they put this thing into place, and it removed the U.S. dollar off of the gold standard, not necessarily completely in 1913, but eventually. I think in
71, I think.
When it finally, like, all the way, because there were still, like, silver certificates.
Yeah, it was, confiscation. I think it was 33 was when ordinary gold was, number one, made illegal.
Right.
And number two, no longer something that people could get for dollars.
Right.
But countries could still get gold for dollars.
Up until the 70s.
I think it was 71.
So the Fed's unchecked power fabricates money with impunity, bestowing upon an insidious tool for control over markets, individuals, and governments alike. Fractional reserve banking, another offspring of the Fed system, permits banks to lend out money multiples larger than what they hold in their actual reserves. So to the lay people out there and the people who don't have never delved into economics, you might think that when you go to the bank and you want to borrow $10,000 to buy a used car, that they have $10,000 in the safe at that bank, and then they check your credit and they check your job and, you know, they just make a few calls, send some emails, whatever it is. And they go, oh, yeah, your credit score looks fine. Here's $10,000. You might think that they pull that money out of that safe and then credit it to your account. That's not what happens. The fact is that they do make all those calls and emails or whatever, and then they just literally manufacture $10,000 into your account out of thin air with the press of a button. That's all that happens.
The most amazing thing is that sometimes they go out of business, even though they have this power.
This alchemy of finance amplifies the initial injection of new, a.k.a. counterfeit money, creating a house of cards where the ratio of actual assets to debt becomes increasingly precarious. This fractional reserve system thrives on the illusion of wealth creation while etching a reality of perpetual debt enslaving future generations. So the creature is 110 years old. Crappy birthday, Federal Reserve. I wish an enormous amount of bad things upon you. I hope that the next phone number you get is one digit away from an all-night taxi service, among other things that I'd rather not say on the radio.
And all that being said, I agree with you, Captain. I don't think that's going to happen by 2026.
So I'm going to take a controversial stance.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
And among libertarians.
Not a pro-traversial?
Yeah. And say that at the moment, the Federal Reserve is our friend.
Ooh. Go on.
Yeah, that's right. Those are the daggers you should be staring at me.
Where am I? have I gone through a dimensional portal? Are you really Peakless Mountaineer?
I know. It's a wild claim. But hear me out.
Oh, God. Okay. All
right. So right now...
That's a pretty bold boast.
Okay. So here's the basic idea. I think that it is better to have two very powerful evil people claiming power over your life that then fight each other than have one evil powerful entity that claims rule over your life unopposed.
Oh, okay.
And if I'm right, then it's a better thing to have the Federal Reserve fighting the European Central Bank over who gets to be the great lord over the world's currency.
Is the presumption then that if the Federal Reserve didn't exist, the European Central Bank would, like, take over the United States?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, without a doubt.
How so?
Oh, well, through the World Economic Forum plan.
Okay, like,
they pretty much detailed out exactly how they're going to become the bank of the world. And the Federal Reserve has said, excuse me, that is currently our job, and we are not giving it up.
I'm doing that thing that statists who haven't studied economics or looked at the outputs of governments do. They immediately jump to, like...
Who would build the roads?
So I'm doing something similar to that when you say the European Central Bank. Jeez, thank you. European ECB. Central Bank would take over the United States. And, like, I'm like, how? Like, to me, it's like overnight, right? It's like instant days.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, but, like, no, it would take some period of time for that to actually occur. First, the Federal Bank, Federal Reserve would need to dissolve or otherwise go away in some way, shape, or form. And then things would have to be put into place and, like, start moving to see something else adopted that would allow the European central banks to have, you know, the majority of the currency distributed here in the U.S.
What would our currency be denominated in? Euros?
Exactly. Yeah, okay.
So you can't get an entire generation of Americans to go on the metric system. And overnight, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, this just cost 50 euros.
Sure they can. All they need to do
Euros are at about the same level as dollars, so, yeah.
All right. Wait, no, that's the wrong guy.
You muted me!
That's the wrong guy. All they would need to do, I'm going to unmute you again now. All they would need to do is get some young female singer to do a cover of Bonnie Tyler's I Need a Hero, but change the words to I Need a Euro.
That's a sandwich.
No, Euro, oh, as in
and
the
that was
Euro.
Worth muting your co-host. Okay.
Some jokes are worth it.
I don't know if you know this, but you do have a habit of talking over people.
What? No. If that were the case, there would be a podcast that was famous for that.
You've got a full country of, like, red-blooded Americans who won't even touch a peso.
Dude, they all watch Monday Night Football because of the broad who sings that tune, right?
I don't care who sings the tune. What I'm saying is, like, they're gonna introduce the Euro overnight, and the dude's going to be, like, okay with it?
Well, it's a one-for-one replacement, right?
Is it?
Well, I mean, that's what they would tell you.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty much.
I'm just thinking from the perspective of the propagandists trying to implement the change.
Yeah, and I'm thinking
about
the hillbilly.
If you have $10,000 in your bank, you'll just have 10,000 euros, and it's a big deal.
And I'm thinking about the hillbilly selling moonshine down at the creek.
Okay. Well, let's run this possibility. Okay, let's say Ricky from the Commonwealth is right, and this happens within 18 months, or let's call it just as close to overnight as possible.
Okay.
Okay, all of a sudden, all of the infidelities of the Federal Reserve are laid bare for the world stage, and all of the countries say, you know what? You can't keep your books. We're not going to trade for dollars anymore. So all of the imports must be done in some other currency. They will no longer allow you to buy anything from overseas for dollars.
Okay.
Okay. So what do you think would happen?
All the rednecks would be like, good, buy American.
Okay, great.
Made in America. Okay. Where's my MAGA hat?
And they can go ahead and starve.
They won't starve.
No, they literally can't get a MAGA hat. Those are made in China.
Well,
they literally can't get a MAGA hat anymore.
But they could trade some moonshine for one.
Right. So,
or for dollars that still are in cash, that's still in circulation. They're not going to give it up.
So then the European Central Bank steps in and says, you know what? We will give you dollars on the dollar. For all of your contracts that were denominated in dollars, we will allow them to be denominated in euros instead. We will honor everything.
Because Billy Joe has a contract for dollars with his local moonshiner.
And sure, you're right. Some people would resist the change.
Yeah.
And they would suffer tremendously.
Everyone calling themselves a conservative in America would resist the change of going to a euro.
I don't think it's
not
Billy
if
Joe,
the American government.
Jimbo. Okay, whatever. Jimbo. I couldn't think of a redneck name quick enough.
If the American government endorses it, if, you know, Biden or whoever says, you know what, we really do need to do this to save the country, it is the patriotic move to do.
They're not going to listen to the Joe Biden. They stormed the Capitol when they thought he was going to be president.
So, some of them will, some of them won't.
All right.
The ones that don't will not be able to buy anything from anywhere with dollars. They will be able to purchase from each other for however long that lasts.
I mean, you're also you're pitching this, but you're also, like, within a community that's voluntarily moving off the dollar, trading in cryptocurrency and goldbacks on a very small level, on principle alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying that these people who are anti-Democrat, anti-Biden, anti-Europeans, right, will do the same with the dollar until they no longer have physical dollars at their grasp.
I think that it will be a very short period of time before the suffering economically is enough for them to make some change or another.
They might in fact start
using gold.
Yeah, are we suffering here by using goldbacks and crypto?
No, I'm not.
All right.
In fact, using goldbacks and crypto has helped to enrich my life in ways I never thought possible until I moved here.
Well, and using crypto in particular has certainly not stood in the way of any kind of international trade.
Okay.
So whereas if all of the countries say we will no longer allow dollars to be traded for the goods of this country,
The only place that would affect would be your importers trying to get foreign goods.
That's everything. We don't have a manufacturing base in this country.
Well, you're saying we have zero exports? The United States doesn't export anything.
America's primary export is financial nonsense.
Okay.
Like, seriously, finances is our biggest export.
The United States is largely service industry. That's the main, if you look at the chart of GDP,
sure.
That's the largest chunk is service industry. And that means what? Waiters, waitresses. It means call centers. It means customer service, customer support, tech support, that kind of a thing.
Go on.
I mean, that's it. That's my
okay. So when foreigners services, come to get services, good. When foreigners come to get services, if it's, you know, if you're saying it's a service industry, mm-hmm. tourism qualifies for that. They have to convert their euros into dollars.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have that flowing back and forth. That will then travel to the exporters, right? They'll get their euros from the foreigners who trade it for dollars.
Yeah.
They'll buy the imported goods.
Well, and like, correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't traveled overseas recently, but doesn't Visa, MasterCard, like, take care of that for you already? So if I have a Visa in my pocket and I jump on a plane.
You can pay a fee for it.
And I jump on a plane and I go to London or something, right? And yeah. I just show up at a pub and I order a pint and I sit down with some locals, we drink.
And I go to
pay with the Visa in my wallet that was issued to me in the U.S. that I just use in the U.S. regularly, and I pay there. Don't they do all that conversion for me?
They charge you for it. There's a conversion fee associated with it. That's not the economical way to do it. The economical way to do it is to show up, find your local conversion bank, buy pounds or euros or whatever,
yeah.
spend that, spend as much of it as you can because it's going to be worthless when you come back to the United States, or you stop off at the bank, trade it back in.
Yeah.
You got to do that when you go to Canada. Drive up to Canada, you got to like find some place that trades for Canadian dollars because not everyone.
I don't know that that's true. Now
I get it. When I went to Niagara Falls, we have to get Canadian money.
What year?
2018.
Okay, that's recent enough.
Yeah,
I'm just saying because like I spent even in Seattle, people would come back and forth from Canada all the time. You can do a day trip. You can charter, not charter. There's boats that you just get on, and as long as you got a passport, you can go to Canada and come back in the same day.
And the people that were doing it all the time probably just maintained both currencies. Or they traded it out, or they just paid the fee on Visa, MasterCard, or they didn't spend that much while they were there.
I wonder what the fee is.
I don't know.
If it's unreasonable or if it's reasonable.
It's definitely unreasonable because they're going to take the cut for providing the service.
Well, I mean, like, on one hand, they're providing the service, so,
right.
Okay. If it saves me the hassle of having to jump through the hoops that you've described, which is go to, you know, exchange, like a literal exchange.
Well, it's like right outside the airport, man. Like, typically, we're in the airport.
Well, in this particular case, you're on a boat, so, like, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Or at the port, then.
But, you know, if it saves you from having to wait in line and having to deal with some bureaucratic hoops to jump through,
yeah.
Like, if it's a reasonable fee, I might just pay it for the convenience. Okay. You know what I mean?
Going to Niagara Falls in Canada, it was a kiosk. It's like, trade your American dollars here. And then you did.
Huh.
And that was it. You're like, here's 20 bucks, and they gave you 20 whatever value in Canadian. And then you go get some Canadian food and go on a Canadian tour or whatever.
Let's give Peakless Mountaineer something to do. We've got Skeeter calling. Oh. Skeeter, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, it's your boy. Evolutionary capitalist, young Skeet.
Hey, second most proficient evolutionary capitalist.
No, number one.
Number two.
I don't see a tattoo yet.
You have a tattoo? Do you have a tattoo? Do you have evolutionary capitalist?
Hold on. You can't just skip over that. What? You have a tattoo of evolutionary capitalist?
No, I'm disciples. The leader doesn't have to get tats.
Oh.
But the show demotion,
that's why I don't have a tattoo. Because I'm the number one.
It's a pretty solid argument. If I remember my Fight Club correctly, the leader does have to get the permanent mark. He just has to give it to himself.
His name was Robert Paulson.
I'm the only one contributing to the original theories. I don't hear anything original coming from that guy.
And why does Meatloaf never survive a movie? Honest question.
He did survive Pick of Destiny, at least assumably, because when young JB ran away from home, you assume that the family remained intact in Kickapoo.
Mm. Boring. Hey, what do libertarians know about economics anyways? You guys keep bragging. You guys don't know one lick of economics, of real economics.
Yep. We spend absolutely no time studying economics.
Yep. No,
None at all.
Because all you guys do is base your behavioral theory on non-aggression, nothing to do with economics.
If you want academic credentials, I have a degree in economics. Does that help?
What was that?
I said, if you want academic credentials, I have a degree in economics.
Skeeter, one more time. Go ahead, Richie.
Yeah.
I said, if you want academic credentials, I have a degree in economics.
Oh, why are you so ignorant then?
I'm not. Because he has a degree in economics. Boom!
So for instance, take that, academia. Then if you have a degree in economics, you'll agree with this, right?
No.
So I criticize libertarian theory a lot based upon its whole basis is in a property ethic, and its whole property ethic is built on a fallacy, and that fallacy is the sunk cost fallacy. I've heard you mention that before. You agree? Because
I agree that we have mentioned the sunk cost fallacy before.
Oh my God.
I don't know what you mean by that. You'd have to tell me what the premise is and why it violates your
sunk cost. You're ignorant about economics.
No, it's because you used a bunch of terminologies that you didn't define. You smashed them together. They don't make sense.
Yeah, you made a claim, but you didn't tell us what the example was.
Oh, my God.
What does it mean that the entire libertarian philosophy is built on the sunk cost fallacy?
Well, first, you agree that libertarian theory is solely just a property ethic, right?
It's based on property.
It's a theory of property, right?
Yeah, I will grant that premise.
And that property theory is solely based on who did what in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And a real market does not care about what was done in the past about that property, whether it's homesteading, where it's rightful transfer, which should not exist in a market. All it cares about is who utilizes that property more efficiently.
No.
Real property is all about stealing things from people.
No, I reject. Okay,
thank you, Skeet. I see the light.
Pause there, Skeeter, because I reject that. Peakless might make that claim, but now you're talking about
the point. Like a couple more sentences, and then you can interject a little part. For God's sakes, you didn't even listen to you're not listening to the whole point. There's probably
you're already wrong.
Thing that I might cover, right?
But you're already wrong.
You're theoretically you're going to base your next point on the premises that you've put forward,
which is
already
wrong.
It's just a few more points, because if you're wrong, you're interrupting me. If you're wrong about your rejection, you're interrupting me.
Then I object.
Let me rebut.
Let's let Skeeter be wrong for a few more sentences. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I got to take notes.
More sentences.
To cycle back to it.
You've got a pretty good memory. It's fine.
That's true.
All right, go ahead, Skeeter.
So it's all based upon so the market does not care about who owned what in the past. It's just like an investment. You don't care what you paid for it, right? That's gambling.
You can't say right and then not expect a response, because I reject it.
Yeah, we disagree.
I'm just repeating what I said. Can I go a little further? Okay, so the market doesn't care about who did what in the past about what property. All it cares about is transferring it, and it'll do so with aggression or without, depending upon the actions of the current owner, right? And that's the rational thing.
You said right again.
So
can't let him go on if he's asking the question.
All about rationality, right?
No.
It's all about rationality. It's all about and rationality is based upon some type of profit ethic.
No.
And I claim it's evolutionary profit. Go ahead. No.
We disagree with every point, including your most recent one, that property is based
on. Start with the base one.
Okay, let's start with that the market does not care who the rightful owner of a thing is.
The market cares.
In order for there to be trade, there has to be an exchange of rightful property for rightful property. Otherwise, you have something that is not a trade, even if it does masquerade as a trade.
So now work backwards.
You can have a trade with aggression. So I can take something from
you. No, you literally can't. They are mutually exclusive.
I said a transfer of property.
There could be a transfer of property through violence and
yes, force. Kind of, but not exactly.
Okay.
So the thing is, you may have control over a thing without it being your rightful property.
Sure. But if I steal your cup, I've got your cup.
That's true. You don't have the right to my cup, though. And it wasn't
but I do have the cup.
And you didn't actually get the property. You just gained control over it.
Okay.
So there's a difference between property and control.
All right.
if you can't take it back, that's his property. Like, I think Rich agrees with me here. I don't know why he stopped here with his analysis, and he doesn't go further into why someone would protect property for someone else, or a group of people protect something for someone else.
Because they get paid for it.
Evolutionary profit, right? And I didn't really explain evolution. I know the other TFAG guys know, but not Richie Rich. My whole
evolutionary capitalist brethren.
You know, I'm your boy. I didn't know, but I didn't explain. Well, anyways, it's not really.
You didn't explain. Like, you had me at I didn't explain.
Let's use profit. Let's just use accounting profit as a proxy, right? It's a close proxy. So let's just use monetary accounting profit, right?
For what? For what purpose?
It's not really it, but it's a good proxy.
For what purpose?
So if we're on a deserted island, Crusoe Economics, right?
Oh, God.
And you have your property.
I have 17 coconuts, like, and you have a fish.
A fringe case that'll never happen.
Well, hold on. Let's stop there. Now, let's say two people are on a desert island. Now, those two people, since we're just cutting out all extraneous factors, those two people have two options of how they're going to deal with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they can either respect each other's property and negotiate, or they can have a force-based relationship where one or both tries to dominate the other. And
there's a third option.
The third option is evolutionary capitalism, Peakless.
No, there's a mix of those two.
Okay, that's just a variation on force. All mixtures are a variation on force.
Black and white?
It's not black and white.
It is actually black and white. It either is forced in part, or it is not forced in any part.
It's like the state obfuscating their force by having several layers of bureaucracy in between. Right? Oh, if you don't pay your taxes, no one's going to come and kidnap you. Well, not at first. At first, they're going to send you some letters. And then they're going to have somebody visit you.
Forget that.
This is why we stop at every premise, because we got, like, the last one, and now he's going to take credit for, like, the three or four that came before that.
Right.
And as good as my memory is, I don't remember what it was.
Right.
Let me introduce another economic concept it's called opportunity cost, right?
I still don't know. Before you introduce opportunity cost, I still don't know how the libertarian property ethic is a sunk cost fallacy. I think that's where we were
because
going.
It relies on looking in the past upon who's the rightful owner of a property. Just
that's not a sunk cost.
It really is not.
Yeah. That's not what sunk cost means.
If I were, like, let's say the current Democratic government, which actually is somewhat libertarian, which looks at who rightfully...
They're more evolutionary capitalists than libertarian.
You know, sometimes I think I get high, but Skeeter's high.
I can't get a thought out. I can't listen while I'm talking either.
Oh, well, thankfully the segment is over.
Just wait for evolution to catch up to your brain.
603-283-6160. Please give us a call if you're more interesting than Skeeter.
And the phones are lit up.
More Free Talk Live. Hour number 3 is coming up.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you, too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.